Welcome. You are listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crossan, General Editor for the U Bible Study Curriculum. And today I'm joined by Natasha Menifee, our Content Editor. Hello, Natasha.
Hello, Mark. We are back for week three in our discussion of It's All About Jesus. And this week our focus is the identity of Jesus. So in this session, we'll see how the body of Christ itself affirms that Jesus is the Messiah. We'll also see that this lesson is going to remind us that Jesus must be dealt with. His identity demands it. Our identity is shaped by how we respond to him. So the question really that we have to ask, that every human being is going to have to ask, is not necessarily whether we will deal with the identity of Christ, but it's when and how we will have to deal with the identity of Christ, because who he is shapes who we are.
All right. So Jesus invites us to identify with him. How does the church affirm Jesus as the Messiah is our question. And so here's the first way: acknowledge him. Chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. While he was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others that one of the ancient prophets has come back." And so here it is, acknowledge him. Who is he? That's what the question he asked. Who does the crowd say I am? And so everybody is going to have an answer to this. You could go and every day this week in preparation for your lesson, ask somebody at random, who is Jesus? And write down their response, because everybody has an answer. Whether you're saved or sinner, that you've got an answer for this question. And so what we got to do is, one, acknowledge that he exists, right? He exists. That's why everybody knows about something about him. And that's why everybody has an opinion about him, because they're acknowledging him. Now, they may not acknowledge exactly who he is correctly, right? They said, well, just giving you the report, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. So remember, Jesus had sent out the 70, and after he sent out the 70, he's getting this report. He gets this similar report back, because that's what the people actually said to the disciples, right? So there, you can read all of that in the text for yourself. And so for some people today, he's a moral teacher. For some, he's a misunderstood revolutionary. For some, he's a prophet, but not any more than that. Who is he? Acknowledge him. The one thing you can't do is deny him. You can't deny that he is real. You cannot deny that he exists. You cannot deny that he has had an impact on this world in which we live. You must acknowledge him. Everybody's going to acknowledge him. In the Bible study, it says you can acknowledge him. You can call him a liar. You can call him a lunatic, or you can call him Lord. But you must acknowledge him. What do you see here, Natasha?
I think you hit the nail on the head, because that question, as you said, is still being asked today. Who do people say that I am? And everybody has an answer. And so the two things that these two verses stood out to me was that it's a challenge for us as believers to live lives that reflect who he is. If we claim the name of Christ, that we live so that people can come to understand who he is. And then whether you are a saint or a sinner, you have, as you said, you have to acknowledge that he exists. You don't, may not believe in him, but you believe that he is. And so the world has to acknowledge that Christ exists, because if he didn't exist, we wouldn't have all the debate about who he is and what he came to do. So we all have to acknowledge who he is.
All right, so let me just make another point about something important that Jesus is doing. He's also checking to see is the message getting out there, right? He knows who he is, but we have to check, is the message getting out? And is it getting out correctly about what it is we're trying to communicate? And so you need to think about that with in terms of your own personal testimony. Who do people say you are? Huh? It's not who you think you are. Who do people say you are? And about your church's witness and your church's reputation. Who do the people in the community say your church is? Right? And so is the message getting out? And is it getting out the way you want it to get out? Because we can't, you can't fix the message, you can't clarify the message. Until you understand what people are receiving. Communication is two ways. It is what we say outwardly, but it is also what people receive, and they're not always the same. And so he asked the disciples first, who do people say I am? Then he asked, and so it is important that we acknowledge him. The second is to believe in him. So now he makes this more personal as we get to Luke chapter 9, verse 20. But you, he asked them, who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. So often in our textbook, it'll read the Christ, same thing. But he strictly warned and instructed them to tell this to no one, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priest, and scribe, be killed, and be raised the third day. So, it's not just about who everybody else says Jesus is. We must believe in him. And this second section raises that. Regardless of what everybody else is saying, who do you say I am? Now, this is now he's talking to his inner circle. Now he's talking to the people who he has really talked with and spent time with. Is the message getting out? Who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. And man, he hit the nail on the head. And so Jesus says, don't tell anybody, right? Don't tell anybody, because it was necessary that the Son of Man is rejected by the church people, right? Let's then put all of them in one category. The church people. He's not rejected by the sinners, he's rejected by the church people. Jesus wouldn't stand a chance in many of our churches today. He is rejected by the elders, he is rejected by the chief priest. He is rejected by the scribes. Not only rejected, but ultimately killed by them. Them who aren't supposed to be killing anybody. By them, he is killed. But he said, this has to happen because ultimately, in God's greater plan, in his greater divine plan, he must be raised the third day. So, do you believe? It's not a matter of what everybody else is saying. Do you believe in him? What are you thinking, Natasha?
Yeah, I think that's the key question. It's that everybody has to answer for themselves, not what other people believe, but what do we as individuals believe about him? At my church, I get the privilege to teach our little people when they first come and confess Christ, and that is at the end when we kind of counsel with them. I ask them, "Tell me about Jesus. Who do you believe Jesus is?" And I love it because I get to hear in their own words, in their own way, who they say Jesus is, not what's been rehearsed or, what maybe mom or grandma has said, which is great. We need to talk about Jesus in our homes, but I love the fact that they can articulate in their own way. And it doesn't have to sound like the adult. It just has to be what they believe in their hearts. And that's what Christ is looking for in us. Who do we say that he is? What do we believe about him? Not how everyone else thinks, but are we solid in what we believe? And then I just love in verse 22, just the full sovereignty of who he is. He knows what's going to happen. He knows why he came. He knows he's going to be rejected. He's going to be killed, but he also knows that he's going to be risen on the third day. And that just, again, just another reminder of his sovereignty and his power.
All right, so this lesson is all about the ABCs of faith. A, acknowledge him. B, believe in him. Here's C. C, commit to him. Chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, starting at verse number 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and you lose or forfeit himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and that of the Father and the holy angels." So what a powerful ending this is, that we must commit. You got to make a commitment to him. Anytime you talk about the cross, you are talking about a commitment. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. All right, so there it is. Where in your life are you denying yourself? Or are we denying ourselves? Are we truly taking up our cross, or do we just want everything to be like easy greasy, easy street? And because only then do we know that we are following him and follow me. You can't save your life, and you can't be ashamed of him and his words. Not in what the old like the old saints would say, not in these last and evil days. Huh? So make a commitment to him. And it just seems like in these days it's getting harder and harder to publicly confess Jesus. It used to be easy, right? Everybody was doing it. But now we are moving into a place and an age and a time where it's getting harder and harder to be on Jesus' team in these last and evil days. And the question is, are you going to choke? Come on. Or are you going to follow him? Take up your cross and follow him. What do you see here, Natasha?
Yeah, I think just because what you said, it's getting harder and harder. And so the word that stands out for me in verse 23 is daily. It's not a one and done. I take up my cross one time when I accept Christ and I'm done. It's daily and follow me. He's looking for a consistent commitment to him. The other thing I see is only one of us can lead my life. It's either going to be me or it's going to be Christ. Only one of us gets to lead. That's why I have to lose my life in order to save it and gain it. Just reminds me of the cross. He laid down his life for us in love, and he's calling for us to willingly, out of our love for him, to lay down our control and to let him follow. So the question for me is there anything in this temporary world worth an eternal shame of Christ that he talks about in verse 26? And the answer is a definite no for me. There's nothing on this side in this world that is worth denying Christ and the eternal shame of Christ. So that's the question that we have to individually each answer for ourselves. Am I taking up my cross daily? Maybe it's hourly, depending on your situation, your day. But am I going to let Christ lead? Am I going to reflect him, or am I going to do it my way and then risk losing everything?
Right. So people say favor ain't fair. Neither is the cross. Come on. Neither is the cross. Talk about that. All right. So we're grateful for this lesson. And we know it's going to be a great challenge, but a needed challenge for you and for your classes as you understand who Jesus is. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment, because Natasha is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I just want to remind everybody, get your copy of the You Bible Study. You need one for everybody in your class. Give some to your friends. Leave some at the barbershop, in the beauty parlor, as a witness from your church. You can find it at you.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. There's a teacher guide in the back of the book. Daily devotional pages to keep you engaged in the scriptures every day, and a leader's pack to make the lessons even more powerful. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum, so there's something for everybody. All right, Natasha, give us our teaching tip for today.
So today's teaching tip is to switch up your teaching style. Take some time to get to know the learners in your group. Everyone learns differently. Some people are visual learners, some people hands-on, or just great listeners. So it's helpful to use a variety of learning styles and resources in your lesson. And the You Leader Pack is full of resources that can enhance your teaching. So pay attention to what engages your learners in your group. Give opportunity to talk amongst your group. It's one way that you'll know that learners are growing in their discipleship when they are actively engaged and communicating during study.
All right. Thank you all so very much for joining us, and join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.